The Night Sky this month is part of the Jodcast. For the full show, go to www.jodcast.net.
The January night sky. Looking south in the late evening in January, we have one of the most beautiful skyscapes that we have all year. Almost south, and fairly high up now, will be the constellation of Orion the Hunter. There are three quite obvious stars that make up his belt. Betelgeuse, a red giant star, is up to the left, and Rigel, a bright blue star, is down to the right. Betelgeuse is his right arm. Rigel, I think, points out his left knee. In fact, he's holding a shield against the onslaught of the bull, Taurus. Taurus has two lovely groups of stars, clusters, called the Hyades and the Pleiades. The Hyades cluster makes up the face of the bull, and Aldebaran, another red giant star, his eye. In fact, Aldebaran is only about half the distance of the stars that make up the Hyades cluster and is moving in a quite different direction through space, so it's not part of them. Up to the right of the Hyades is a beautiful group of stars called the Pleiades, lovely to observe with binoculars or a telescope at low power, often called the Seven Sisters. In fact, you can fairly easily see nine stars there, the Seven Sisters and their parents. There are about 300 stars in all, and it lies about 400 light-years from us. So that means, of course, we see it, as it was about 400 years ago. Up above Taurus, moving towards the zenith, is the constellation of Auriga, and the bright yellow star Capella. Auriga lies along the plane of the Milky Way, and thus it's very rich in stars. And with binoculars, you might even pick out some groupings. They're open clusters, actually M36, M37, and M38. They're all part of the wonderful catalogue of fuzzy-type objects that was produced by Charles Messier in the 1700s. Up to the left of Orion, we have the two bright stars, Castor and Pollux, which are the head of the twins. Gemini is the constellation. Down at the sort of feet of the upper twin, that has Castor as his head, you might pick out another rather lovely star cluster, M35, which can be seen on a dark night with binoculars. Over to the left of Orion is the very small constellation of Canis Minor, but with one bright star, Procyon. Then if you follow the three stars of Orion's belt down to the lower left, you come to the brightest star we can see in the northern hemisphere, which is Sirius in Canis Major. It often appears to be a whole range of colours. It twinkles. That's due to the atmosphere, and we sometimes see shafts of blue light and red light, as well as what it should be, which is really white. If you do have a clear sky and a reasonably good southern horizon, just start at Sirius with a pair of binoculars and just drop down a few degrees, and you may pick up a rather lovely open cluster called M41, another of the Messier catalogue objects. If you can see it, it does have a very nice little blue group of stars, and within them one very lovely red star. It makes a lovely colour contrast. It's a red giant. It's a lovely object to look at with a small telescope. To the left of Procyon is a fairly blank part of the sky with Cancer, and there is a lovely little group of stars there called the Beehive Cluster or Prisipi. And further over, and basically rising in the east, at about the 9:30-10 o'clock mark, is Leo the Lion. I point that out to finally say that between the brightest star Regulus, which is at the bottom right of Leo, and Castor and Pollux, you will see, about 5 to 6 degrees away from Regulus, the planet Saturn, adding to that part of the sky, the only planet that we can actually observe in the late evening sky. So let's hope we have some nice clear nights in January, and you can take your binoculars or just your eyes, go to a dark location and just observe what is a very lovely skyscape. Okay, well now let's have a look at the planets. I've already mentioned that Saturn lies between Leo and Gemini and will be visible basically all evening, but it's highest in the south after midnight, perhaps about 1 o'clock in the morning. The rings of Saturn are in fact closing at the present time. So it doesn't look quite as bright as it sometimes is. I actually observed it with a telescope just the other evening, and it's obvious that the rings are not really quite so dramatic as they have been, but it's still a sweet sight in a small telescope, and you should easily be able to see the brightest of its satellites, which is Titan, and a telescope of about 8 inches or more will actually show up quite a number of the satellites. So it is still worth looking at, perhaps not quite as good as it was a few years ago. Now to Jupiter, the giant of our planetary system. It's lying in the constellation of Libra, and it passed behind the Sun during the early part of November. By the beginning of January, it's rising at about 6 o'clock, low in the southeast, about 100 minutes or so before the Sun. As the month continues, it rises early, and in fact nearly 4 hours before the Sun by the month's end. Sadly, Jupiter is now in the constellation of Scorpius. It's moving along the most southerly part of the ecliptic, so it's never going to be that high in the sky. In fact, it will rise to about the height that we see the Sun in the sky in the midwinter months. So the atmosphere will probably hinder our view of the lovely surface where we have these equatorial bands and even the great red spot. So again, it is worth looking at, not quite as good as it has been for the last few years. We have to wait a few years yet until it comes out of that southern part of the ecliptic and climbs up into the northern sky. Mercury, it passes behind the Sun on January the 7th, and thus we will not be able to see it until the very last week of January, when it may be seen in the western sky just after sunset to the lower right of Venus. It'll be about magnitude -1 compared to Venus magnitude -4, but binoculars should help you pick it out in the twilight. A good thing to do is to go to a site where there's a good western horizon. Be there before the Sun's due to set. See where the Sun sets, and then you'll know roughly where to look along the horizon, up and to the left, to see first Mercury and then, further away from the Sun's position, the planet Venus. So I've just been talking about Venus, really. It passed behind the Sun on October the 27th, so it's now had quite a time to move out to the eastern side of the Sun, becoming visible, as I've said, after sunset, setting about 1 hour after the Sun. Binoculars should help you pick it up really quite easily. It's very nice to observe Venus with a small telescope as it moves around the Sun, and you see the phases, rather like the phases of the Moon. It was the observation of these phases of Venus, and in particular that it could show a nearly full phase, that proved to Galileo that in fact the planets were going around the Sun and were not in orbit around the Earth. Well, let's just finish with a couple of highlights of the month. On January the 4th, we do have a meteor shower. It's called the Quadrantid meteor shower, or the Quadrantids. That's because the radiant, which is where the meteors appear to come from, was in a very small constellation called Quadrantid, which represented a quadrant. Before the days of telescopes, they were a way of measuring the elevation of a star as they came due south. If, along with that elevation and the time at which that happens, were recorded, you could actually chart the star's position in the sky. So the quadrant was a key instrument used by Tycho Brahe and others to make a wonderful star chart of the sky. In fact, on that star chart, Tycho in effect plotted the movements of the wandering stars, the planets. He did this over about 20 years or so, and that wonderful data set was handed on to Johann Kepler. He was able to deduce the laws of planetary motion, and that helped lead Isaac Newton to the law of gravity. So a simple quadrant really has a rather famous history. In fact, that area of the sky now is between the constellation of Bootes and Ursa Major the Plough. So if you find the three stars that make up the tail of the plough, and at about 4 o'clock in the morning, or 3 o'clock or so on Jan the 4th, that'll be basically in the northeast, and the tail will be vertical. The Great Bear will be sort of climbing out of the ground. So below that, you may have a chance to see a fair number of meteors. They are not terribly bright, and sadly, at the same time, high up in the south, in the constellation of Gemini, is the almost full moon. So we will have to be lucky to see them, but it perhaps is worth a try. At the very end of the month, we have a nice sight on Jan the 20th, in the evening, just after sunset, when there's a very thin crescent moon, and it can be seen along with Venus just above. Over to the right is in fact the planet Neptune, its eighth magnitude. Now, that should be able to be picked up with binoculars, but of course, it's only soon after sunset, there may be too much light in the sky. But certainly it's worth looking at with a small telescope to see if you could pick up Neptune as well. There is a chart showing exactly where they are on the night sky pages of the Jodrell Bank website. So everything I've told you is there in the night sky page. I hope it will help you to observe the night sky this January. Good hunting.